Ramsey TV.
Hello, everybody. Martin Zender here, still at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula, and, you know, the edge of the bottom of everything, actually. I still don't want to talk about the hospital experience the other day. I mean, everything went okay. It was my first infusion treatment. There's some details that will interest you. Again, I kind of hinted at two spiritual conversations I had with two people that, of course, God arranged for me to meet. But I'll tell you about that later. The topic's way too important. I think I'm going to spend today and tomorrow on this beautiful topic of Christ's work being sufficient. But really, and the next topic is not so beautiful, the amazing topic of the satanic deception that keeps people from seeing belief as a work, even though they divorce it completely from Jesus Christ's influence. They don't see it as a work. So I'm gonna talk about that today and tomorrow. Looks like there might be three parts to this. Scott LaPierre Ministries. I know there are some of you who will probably send this to him. I'm not asking you to. I'm really not. It's like, don't, unless you really feel a call of the Lord to send it to him. Unless you really feel called. I would really rather not deal, you know, with this guy. But if you want to, I mean, you know, God puts it on your heart. I did have a doctor a long time ago, really, though, that was really good. He was related to two friends of mine. You've heard me talk about Sharon and Francesca. Here's Sharon and Francesca from Cleveland, mother and daughter. They are really big fans of the show. They love the show. They watch it every day. And they watch it with their dog. You remember, I introduced this dog to you. Louis Pablo, the one and only Louis Pablo, who I showed his picture the other. Look at Louis Pablo. But what you might not have known about Louis Pablo is that he used to practice medicine. No, not doggy medicine. No, it was human medicine. Here he is in his official outfit. Looks better than anybody I saw at the Cleveland Clinic Weston Branch. But what you might not know is that he was my personal physician a few years ago. And here's that photo that Francesca had saved and kindly sent to me. Well, the care of Louis Pablo. It was just so all-encompassing. Every time Louis ministered to me, it felt like a warm hug and a hot cup of chicken noodle soup. So there he is. Thank you very much for saving that photo and sending it to me. Now I can share it with everybody here. Oh, and a shout-out to Stacy as well, who is Sharon's sister. Greeting you here from Fort Lauderdale. So yesterday, by the way, I might have to use, I don't think this throat spray is going to do any good, because the throat's not the problem. The problem is that my mouth is very sore. I mean, it hurts when I go this or up and down. It really hurts. So, and my problem is I start getting into the show. I start getting into these truths, being justified, these truths, you know, being justified by grace, declared righteous, our belief in Christ versus his belief in us, really. And I start to get animated, and then I start trying to make my mouth keep up with my passion. It's like a football player playing injured, you know. It's like you're in a playoff game or the Super Bowl, and I feel every show to me is just like the Super Bowl. So I'm trying to make my mouth keep up with my passion. And when you're injured, you say, I don't care how hurt I am, I'm playing in the Super Bowl. I'm not going to miss the Super Bowl. So you just play hurt, right? Every great athlete plays hurt. I told you how much the NFL was a great inspiration to me. So I'm just playing hurt. But then, and you don't feel it when you're doing it because you're excited and you're in it. But then when the game's over, you go back to the locker room like, oh God, really let it rip. But anyway, that's okay. This stuff does something, I don't know. I got this at Whole Foods. It's called Mary Ruth's Organic Throat Spray. It's an herbal blend and it's vanilla flavored. It's a dietary supplement. I'm also in the third day of a 7-day fast. And already I don't care about food. Already, it's great. Maria and I went to Publix today. That's our grocery store down here in South Florida. And we went there, and it was so great being free from food. I remember back in the day when I had, I was a wife and three kids, had not much money. Like, I didn't have enough money, like, $100 to buy anything. And it was so great going through the store and being free of needing anything at the store, because I couldn't buy it anyway. That was so great. I'd walk through the store and look at everything, and there's no pull. You just look at it. Oh, that's a pretty television. Oh, look at that chair. That's nice. It's the same with the food. Oh, that steak. I bet that's really good. Look at those juicy red apples. But none of it affected me. And this is great. I love this, you know. I mean, I'm doing the lemon juice, and I'm just taking the broth. Maria makes this amazing collagen chicken broth. Just don't look at the bottom of the pot, because you don't know what, you don't want to know what, how the collagen gets into the soup. You know? So I have to drain the vegetables off and do that. But anyway, so yeah, it's going great. I'm fighting this thing with everything. So back to Scott LaPierre Ministries. I remind you of his famous quote, now infamous. I've made it infamous, and it is infamous. We are justified or declared righteous by grace through faith versus being justified or declared righteous by works. That much is true, but then you know what happens. That means, this is his interpretation, that means God declares us righteous by our belief in Christ, and that is absolutely not the faith, versus the way we live. And thank God for that. If God had to justify us by our works, he would declare us unrighteous, but you are still in that dirty state of unbelief. Not that God hasn't justified you, not that Christ didn't cover your sins at the cross, not that Christ didn't take away your sins at the cross, but as Paul says, you like nullify the grace of God. Now the phrase fall out of grace, that this is what I claim has happened to Scott LaPierre. He's fallen out of grace. That's a passage in Galatians. I'll put the verse reference down here. I can't come up with it at the moment. But falling from grace, that's a disturbing saying for many people. Many of you have been disturbed by it. Fall from grace. How can you fall from grace? It's not that the justification of God is not on Scott LaPierre right now. Because one died for the sake of all, consequently all died, and he who dies has been justified from sin. And I'm going to read a verse from Romans that will show you this. It's just that he's not appreciating it. So he falls out of it in his apprehension. He's not operating in the realm of grace, even though grace is operating in the realm of him. But he's groping, so he's not living like a man who has been saved by grace. He's living like a man who has to keep up his non-sinning ways, which, of course, he's sinning. I mean, look at him. I'm sorry, this guy's a sinner. Well, he would say he's a sinner, but he would also say, if he's true to the circumcision evangel, you know, I have to repent every 5 minutes. But no, he's not true to the pure circumcision gospel, because he mixes, because he's bringing pieces of Paul in here. We are justified. That's the mistake he makes. Thinking he knows what justification is, he mixes it with doing good. And one of the best things you can do is believe in God, right? But how can you if there's no one righteous, no, not one? Okay, I'm going to read some new material now from Mr. LaPierre. And remember, when he says we're justified, declared righteous by grace through faith, he doesn't go to the rest of that verse. And this is not out of you. And I didn't even finish that. Somebody brought that up to me. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. I didn't even finish that. Starting with verse 8. For in grace through faith are you saved. And this is not out of you. Of course, nothing in us can generate anything that we can give to God. And besides, what can we give to God first that he doesn't have? Romans chapter 11. What can we give to God that he doesn't have? But these Christians actually believe that we can give him something that he doesn't have. Our acceptance. Yeah, God needs, can you imagine this? God needs our acceptance. The cross requires our acceptance, requires it. In fact, it's waiting there with its arms crossed. Well, and Greg mentions how he always liked my analogy of the, like God is in the car, a guy's house is burning down, God's in the fire truck, or he's in the getaway car or something, but he can't, he's not going to go in and actually grab the guy and bring him out because that would violate his free will. But the guy's passed out in the smoke, you see. He's passed out. He's unconscious. He's unconscious. He's, as Romans 5:8 would say, helpless. Or is that 5:6? Read all of Romans 5, you'll find it. Helpless. So the foolishness of saying, hey, helpless sinner, do something. And you better do it quick. This is what Scott LaPierre does. Of course, that's just the whole Christian world does that. Hey, helpless person. Hey, we're dead in trespasses and sins. Hey, dead guy. They'll admit that. We are dead in trespasses and sins. Hey, dead guy. Reach for this rope. Yeah, some dead guy floating on the ocean. And you throw him a lifeline. And you say, hey, dead guy. Hey, corpse. Reach for the lifeline. Reach for the buoy. Do something. What do you want us to do? Come in there and drag you into the boat? But you see, that's exactly what God does through Christ. Drags us all into the boat, drags us all unconscious out of the house, throws us in the car, and drives us off to glory or to revelation. And we just wake up in the back and say, in the case of the house in the fire where the guy's merely passed out, for the other guy who gets pulled out of the ocean dead, he comes alive by resurrection. The other guy comes alive just by, what happened? Yeah, that's what salvation is on our part. What happened? I suddenly believe something. I suddenly believe in Christ's death for my sake, and I realize that I had no part in it. It's like something that came upon me from without. And then you look in the scriptures and you find out that that's exactly how it has to happen. Let's go on with Scott. This is part of his lesson 3 in his series titled The Danger of Self-Righteousness and Understanding Justification. He is neck deep in self-righteousness and has no idea of what justification means. He says this, self-righteousness is dangerous because it is shooting at the wrong target. Shooting at the wrong target, he says. He says this, it doesn't matter how good your aim is, how hard you try, how sincere you are. It doesn't matter how good your aim is. Is that what he tells the people he's trying to bring to Christ? You better be believing that Jesus Christ is a Messiah. That yet your aim has to be on Jesus Christ. You can't be going over here to Buddha or Muhammad. So they're always telling you, you have to believe in Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, but that's an exhortation to have a good aim. He says it does, so it damn well matters if you're in the Christian religion and if you're a false herald and a false evangelist, which this man is, unfortunately, brings me no pleasure in saying that. He said it doesn't matter how hard you try. BS. You got to try hard. Or what, you want to go to hell or something? Don't you want to go to heaven? Don't you want to go to heaven? You got to try hard. I mean, you got to be here every Sunday. And you got to be baptized. It's a lot to do. You got to get your little baptism robe on, go up the little baptism steps, get humiliated, completely a humiliating ceremony in front of the whole church. And doesn't matter how hard you try. All they do is tell you how hard you must try. Oh, not to mention the fact, stop sinning. But it doesn't matter how hard you try. And then this, it doesn't matter how sincere you are. Are you kidding me, Mr. Christian? You tell people they don't have to be sincere? You tell them all this thing, all these things. And this just proves that they actually do believe in salvation by works. I said, no, you just need faith, that's all. And they never say where it comes from. Or when they're cornered and asked where it comes from, then they have a big problem. They have a big problem. They have to say it comes from God. Unless they're really honest, like Clay Kent was years ago. I think it was 1995. I was in Florida for a conference. Yeah, where was that? Anyway, he said, I said, because I had heard the rumor that Clay Kent, and I was going to a Concordant conference. I was a newbie back then in the circle. And I didn't realize I was still dealing with people in the ecclesia, in the mature ecclesia of God, who believed in the salvation of all and did not believe in the Trinity. I found out people believed in human free will, couldn't believe it. I remember turning, this was a teacher, Clay Kent. He was like a respected teacher, an elder. Turned around and said, very bold, haven't changed much. Said, Mr. Kent, Pastor Kent. Oh, sorry, it's Pastor Kent. So do you believe, I said, do you believe faith comes from without or from some well of faith inside the human? He said this, swear to you, quote, from a well of faith inside the human. He said faith comes from within rather than from the outside in, from God. And we went for those three verses yesterday, Romans 12:3, God parts to each the measure of faith. Philippians 1:29, to you has been graciously granted not only to be believing on him, but to be suffering for his sake also. And of course, Ephesians 2:8, by grace through faith are you saved. And this, the faith, is not out of you. Scott LaPierre ain't about to stop. It doesn't even matter if you get a bullseye, if you're shooting at the wrong target. And he doesn't realize that he is totally shooting at the wrong target. And he's writing about himself. Listen to this. And self-righteous people who believe they're getting to heaven by being good enough. Or people like Jesus described in Luke 18:9, who trust in themselves that they are righteous, are shooting at the wrong target. This is exactly what you're doing, Scott. You believe you're getting to heaven by being good enough. Why do you send people to hell? You believe that millions and billions and billions of people are going to hell, don't you, Scott? Don't you? Why are they going to hell? Because they weren't, okay, let's say they weren't smart enough, they weren't wise enough, they weren't savvy enough, they weren't spiritual enough. In a nutshell, they weren't good enough to choose Christ, to believe in Jesus. They never went to one of your altar calls. They never went to one of your baptisms. They only attended one of your church ceremonies, and they ran the hell out of the building when they realized you were a hypocrite. And you are a hypocrite. You're self-righteous. You're describing yourself. Self-righteous people who believe they're getting to heaven by being good enough. That's you. You'll deny it, but it's impossible for you to deny it. Because you're telling us yesterday that God declares us righteous by our belief in Christ. Our belief. And I know you're a free will guy. So, of course, God can't influence a free will. It's impossible. Or you don't know what free will is, okay? So, no influence from God. So, where else can the faith come from than from some personal well of faith from within you? Or people like Jesus described in Luke 18:9, who trust in themselves that they are righteous. That's what you do. You trust in yourself that you're at least righteous enough. I'm not saying that you're telling people that they have to be completely righteous. I know you're not saying that. But you are saying they have to let go of their sinning ways, right? We're all dead in sin, dead in trespasses and sin, right? Do you agree? All helpless sinners, right? Romans 3:11. Not one is just, not even one. Not one is seeking out God. Not even one. Not one is understanding. All avoid him. You agree with that, right? But then how is it you're telling people to come to the altar? It's like I said at the beginning. You're coaxing a dead man to grab onto a life preserver. Or you're yelling at a person passed out by smoke inhalation to come out of a burning building. And you're honking the horn, because the guy better hurry up, time's running out. Better do it, better get it done on time, or you will die and go to hell. And you call that the gospel. And then he has the, so you can't, you have to admit, you tell him, you gotta have, you just have to, just, can't you just, like, not, just stop being a sinner long enough? So that's all we're asking. This is what, all they're asking. Just stop being a sinner long enough to believe in Jesus. It's not a work. We're not asking you to raise up from your stupor. We're not asking you to defy Romans 3:11, that no one is, not one is seeking out God. Or that we're dead in trespasses. And said, no, we're not. Because we know you can't do that. But, just a little bit. Can't you wake up long enough? Just believe in Jesus. Come on, believe in Jesus. Say the words. Because, see, they think it's up to them to. What does Jesus have to do with any of this? Absolute. AFN. Absolutely fucking nothing. Jesus have to do with any of this. He did his part and it saved no one. Remember yesterday? Just gave the opportunity. Just stop sinning long enough. Stop being stubborn long enough. Stop being unrighteous long enough. So you are asking people to be righteous. Just a little bit. Enough to get you saved. Then you can go back to your sinning ways because you're saved now. Because you acted. You said it yourself. You're a huge hypocrite. And as of now, you do not have aeonian life, sir. You have eternal life. God saved you in spite of your stubbornness, but you'll be one of the last people to come in. That will be the shock to you. God saves every man and woman in his or her own order. 1 Corinthians 15:21-23. You're going to be one of the last because you're a hypocrite and you're teaching people wrong things. And you will be held to greater account, Mr. LaPierre. If somebody does send this to you and you hear this, then you won the lottery. It's your lucky day. But I can't force you to drink. I can bring you into the water, but I cannot force you to drink. If you're watching, I kind of hope you're not. Part of me hopes, but a part of me wants, I'm not going to send this to you, but I know a few people who are just going to send this to you without asking me, which they don't have to ask me. If the Spirit of God is moving you, go for it. Hey, Scott LaPierre might be the last member to come into the body of Christ. Who knows? And then he has the audacity to quote Romans 10:3, which I always quote. That's my verse, bro. But I use it lawfully. You use it unlawfully. Romans 10:3, they, speaking of the Jews, being ignorant of God's righteousness. And see, you, sir, are ignorant of God's righteousness, of what God did at the cross. I'm gonna read that shortly before we're over. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, exactly what you're doing. What else is free will? Seeking, this is the best definition of free will in print anywhere. It's in the scriptures, thank God. God makes sure he inspired Paul to give the best definition of free will. Seeking to establish their own righteousness. And you will deny it right now. You will, in your kind, your type, you will deny it until God knocks you over the head with a beam of light. Or blinds you like he did to Saul on the road to Damascus. I'm not doing this by my own righteousness. Yes, you are. Because you don't see the cross of Christ as having been completed. You don't see that salvation. When Jesus said, it is finished. More on this tomorrow. When Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. What was finished? The salvation of all, the salvation of the entire human race, and more than that, the salvation of the celestial world, but that's a topic for another time. It is finished. You deny that salvation was won, was wrought, was effected by Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago when he said it is finished. That did not do the job, and you will have to admit that. You have to admit that, because if it did, if he actually is the savior of the world, then he would have to have done it then, because that's what he was all about. That's what he came here for. So why are you cajoling people to get saved? Why are you begging people to get into the baptism tank? How embarrassing that is. So embarrassing. I've seen videos of people getting in the tank and you put them in backwards. And like, this is so horrifying. We're baptized into his death. That's what baptism pictures. The water was just like the lamb. So you could, you guys, kill lambs at your church? Do you have an altar for slaughtering lambs? Well, if you have a baptism tank, then you need to slaughter lambs as well. And there better be somebody out back, you know, building an ark. Doing all these things are out of timing with God's present operations. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, seeking to establish their own righteousness, that's you, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. You've not been submitted to it. Scott, you yourself, you're talking about yourself. You have not submitted to it. What is the opposite? He asks this. This is so self-condemnatory. What is the opposite of submission? He says, rebellion, with an exclamation point. That's you. You're rebelling against the truth. Because you know, if you accept this, if you accept the fact that when Jesus said it was finished, and that was back. When Jesus said it is finished, and we look back and say it was finished, if you admit that that's true, your whole system collapses. And you're out of a job, my friend. You're out of a job. You're not my brother yet, but you're my friend. You're out of a job. Come to the good side. He finishes this way. People seeking to establish their own righteousness are rebelling against the way God has said we can be righteous. What would this can be righteous? What is the price is right? This can be yours if the price is right. You're rebelling against the way God has said we are righteous. God's way is Jesus Christ crucified on the cross. That's God's way. Your way is it's up to you to believe. You better hurry before God's car takes off and you die of smoke inhalation in the burning house. My God, you got it so mixed up and you're so screwed up. Satan has befuddled you, bedazzled you, just entranced you. You're in a cult, literally in a cult. Your whole Christian religion is a cult. And you don't understand that salvation was won by Christ. I mean, in a way, you shouldn't feel bad because Satan is mighty deceptive, mighty powerful, and he's working his will through you. And just a few people like me are out there heralding the truth. People seeking to establish their own righteousness are rebelling against the way God has said we can be righteous. We can be righteous, which is by faith in Christ. There you go again with the faith in Christ. We have talked about why people might not go to an earthly physician. They don't know they are sick. Scott LaPierre, you don't know you're sick. I'll finish with this. Romans 3, verse 21. Yet now, apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest. Yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. When was that faith manifest? 2,000 years ago at the cross. He had the faith to give up his life. And you don't believe that either, I know, because Jesus Christ is God, according to you. Not what he said he was, the Son of God. Anyway, we'll save that topic for after you get this one. One hurdle at a time here, Scott. A righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith. For all. It's for everyone. Eventually, everyone's going to taste of salvation. They're going to come into that beautiful experience of salvation, but each in his own order. 1 Corinthians 15, 21, 22. It's for all and on all who are believing. And we already, yes, Scripture exhorts to belief, but we already discussed where that belief comes from. It comes from God. It's a gift of God, not out of you, lest anyone should be boasting. That's the part I keep leaving out of Ephesians. Or is it here? No, it's here. I'm so rushed right now. The idea of boasting. We're going to talk about boasting and of the subtle ways people boast tomorrow. And I'm going to read a writing of someone that is just so appropriate for this topic, and we are going to be so sealed and cemented in this glorious truth more than ever before.